The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Millions of American and Canadian young people are in trouble. Our jails are filling up. Our schools are becoming dangerous places to be, my friends. What is wrong? What is the real answer to juvenile delinquency and the future of our entire society? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith reveals the answer to juvenile delinquency. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, a new generation is coming along which will soon change the face of American life. And it will not be for the better unless we change as a society. What is wrong and what should we do about it? First of all, we're very familiar with the spectacle of young teenage boys killing and maiming fellow classmates and even teachers. Why is this behavior so totally different from the schoolyard behavior many of us experienced 30 or 40 years ago? Think how different it was back then. Back then, teachers were concerned about children talking or tossing paper wads or things like that. Today, they're concerned about rape, robbery, murder. This is awful. There are lots of contributing reasons for this problem, for this behavior. Liberal teachers, liberal ministers, frankly, liberal ideas promulgated everywhere. Horrifying violence and illicit sex scenes bombarding young people's minds through the media. Absolutely rotten musics and rotten lyrics, which young people just soak up. Ghastly and perverted computer games filled with kind of unreal, just types of unreal violence. Bestial behavior, such as never been seen before in our modern society. Working mothers who are gone and tired all the time, and latchkey children. Truly vile and lying behavior modeled by dozens of leading politicians, sports and entertainment figures, and many others. And kids look up to these people. All these factors contribute heavily to the growing disrespect, the law-breaking, and the violence of our youth. But if we want to truly understand the underlying reason for all of this, we will have to come to admit, when we understand, that the basic cause is that our society has left the real God out of the picture. Yes, I'm talking about the real God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, the God that inspired the Bible, the God that is soon ready to intervene in human society, to stop us from wiping ourselves off this earth. That is the real God, and we have left that God out of our thinking, most of us. Society as a whole has left this God out of the classroom, left this God out of most of our churches, as a matter of fact, and left this God out of society. Notice this incisive prophecy from the great God for our age now. This prophecy was written 2,000 years ago. Notice how alive it is, how real it is that God would say this through His servant nearly 2,000 years ago. Turn with me if you have a Bible. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Paul writes, "But know this, that in the last days," he's talking about our time today, "the last days, perilous times will come." And boy, they are coming. Right now as I speak, the Middle East is blowing up. Crime is going on everywhere. There are threats of violence all over this earth. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, far more than almost any time in recent memory, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And the young people today in our society are often so spoiled, they don't know how to be thankful. They have no feeling of thanksgiving. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, with a kind of wild noise and shrieking type of singing, or what they call singing today, creating a kind of an emotional hysteria, and our children screaming and yelling and following into that attitude. Think about what's going on in their hearts and minds. No wonder they get out of control, playing the video games they do, seeing people blown up, and all this kind of thing over and over again. Unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal. And boy, the brutality that's shown on television and in these computer games is almost unbelievable. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yes, they're pleasure mad, always wanting to have fun, not having a sense of accomplishment, but just fun, 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 living an unreal life through the media. The inspired prophecy is for the last days. Yes, God spoke these words about our time now. The Creator God knew exactly what mankind would come to, and He tells us what to do about it, my friends, in our families and in our communities, if we will listen. Will we listen to the true Jesus Christ of the Bible? Notice His inspired words. I want you to turn with me now to what Jesus Christ said. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, if you would. Matthew 19. Here's something that is too often left out of the supposed gospel that people are preaching. They talk about giving your heart to the Lord, just making a decision for Christ. They talk about the person of Christ and following or loving or honoring or worshiping the person of Christ, but they leave out Christ's message, the message He taught while He was on this earth. Was that message all done away? It was not. It was not and must not be in our lives. Notice Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to Him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" How do you gain eternal life? How do you gain God's favor? So Christ, did Christ know, or was He out of date? Was everything He taught all of a sudden nailed to the cross and done away with? That is ridiculous. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, He told them to go out and preach the same things exactly that He had taught them. Look it up, Matthew 28, the last three verses. He didn't tell them to teach some different thing. He said to teach what I have taught you. And so He taught them here, "Why do you call Me good? There's no one good but God. But if you want to enter into life," here's the way to life now, to the right way of life that would help our young people, the way into eternal life, the way of life that God wants all of us to live, all of us. He said, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments. Now some will argue, well, we don't know what commandments He's talking about. Okay, let's go on. He made it very clear. The young man said, which? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. Uh-oh, completely against that. And of course, God shows very clearly in the Bible that we're not to even look on a woman, to lust after her, and therefore we shouldn't be looking on murder, to have the attitude toward that or toward anything like that. We're to keep the spirit of the law as well as the letter. And as Jesus explained it in Matthew 5, very clearly, the spirit does not do away with the letter. It simply magnifies it. It makes the commandment all the more binding. You shall not commit adultery. And so Jesus said, don't even look on a woman to lust after her. You shall not steal. And again, God says, you shall not covet later on in the commandments. You shall not bear false witness. Don't lie. And yet our entire society seems to be based upon lying. All the ads on TV and the radio and all the other ads and all the other things and the speeches of politicians promising things they don't have with money they don't even have yet control of. Honor your father and your mother. That's a command of God. Think if every child were taught that growing up, that way of life, based on the Ten Commandments. Honor. Have deep respect for your father and your mother. And we're taught that not just by parents over in a corner where their kids can make fun of them and say, well, that's just your idea, but taught that in the school, as it sometimes used to be, to some extent at least, respect for teachers, respect for the government, respect for parents, taught that in the church, taught that by the entire society, a way of life based on the Ten Commandments. That is the way of life that would help our young people. That is the way that would solve, of course, juvenile delinquency completely. If we can get back to that basic way of life and get back to the ways of God, a way of life that we have never fully learned, but certainly had a lot more of when I was growing up, back in the 1930s and 40s. What a vastly different society it was at that time, where from virtually every point of view in the society, we were taught respect for parents. We were taught respect for the society. At this point, my friends, I invite you to call or write and request a free audio tape of this program. Then you can review these concepts at your leisure, and you may wish to share this vital information with friends or family. So call or write right away. Just request your free audio tape of this program on juvenile delinquency.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic on the answer to juvenile delinquency. We were in Matthew 19, my friends, describing the teaching of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the great Son of God who knows and through whom God created the heavens and the earth and human beings. Let's turn to this verse, Matthew 19:17 again. When they ask him the way to eternal life, Jesus said, "If you would enter into life, keep the commandments." And then he began to explain some of the Ten Commandments, showing he was talking about the Ten Commandments as a way of life. That way of life would work. That way of life would stop this juvenile delinquency, these problems that we have. Considering what Jesus Christ said, notice the following statistics from a recent issue of Newsweek magazine. Newsweek magazine here was citing statistics about sexually transmitted diseases, and they brought out these facts. 3 million teens, or about 1 in 4 of those sexually experienced, acquire a sexually transmitted disease every year. Teenagers have a higher rate of gonorrhea than do sexually active men and women aged 20 to 44. Births, more than half of the 905,000 teen pregnancies in 1996 resulted in births. Miscarriages were 14%, births 56%, abortions 30%. Think about that. Would 1/4 of teenagers indulge in fornication and have all these problems and bring all these illegitimate little children into being if they had been taught by their parents and by society as a whole the importance of the Ten Commandments? Would nearly 1 million little children be born illegitimately every year if young people really understood about the true God and His law? Talking about little Lord Jesus, my friends, is not enough. Talking about being saved in some emotional revival meeting is not enough. We've got to really understand that. Sentimental religion is not enough if it's separated from the teaching of Jesus Christ about the way of life, about the law of God. Let's turn back to the scripture I previously referred to in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Quite often the modern ministry says he does come for that or did come for that purpose. He did not. He said, "I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy but to fulfill." And fulfill does not mean do away with. It means to do or perform. He kept it as an example to us. "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks..." Notice this, he's talking here future tense. Future tense. "Whoever therefore breaks," you see, in the future, "one of these least of the commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." That is, even if they get there. "But whoever does and teaches them, even the least of God's commandments, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Wow! Have you been taught that recently? Think about it. Why aren't men being taught? Why aren't our young people today being taught in the churches, in the Sunday schools, and in the regular schools, and by their parents, and by society as a whole, this way? We're a professing Christian nation. We say, "In God we trust." But we take this book and rip entire chapters out of it. and don't follow it at all. We act like it has no meaning. We do not understand the Bible anymore. We do not obey the Bible anymore. Here's the teaching of Jesus Christ that would solve these problems, and we need to understand. If we teach even the least of God's commandments, we will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Then he goes on to show, you're not only not to kill, you're not even to hate in your heart and have a despicable attitude toward people of other races or other religions or whatever. He says down in 27, verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. Think about that. Here are all these movies showing half-clad women, television programs, just emphasizing that and showing the beginning of sexual intercourse over and over and over right in front of our teenagers all across the North American continent. What do you think our kids get out of that? What attitude do you think they're going to develop from all of that stuff? It's horrible, my friends. It's tearing our society to bits. And yet most people will do nothing to stop it, absolutely nothing. So we have to understand the real teachings of Jesus Christ. When your enemy does something to you or someone bad does something, you're immediately supposed to try to get even or kill him, wipe him out, zap him as they do in these computer games. What did Jesus say? Turn to verse 43 here in Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what television teaches. That's what the computer games teach. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Are our children, are our young people being taught that as a way of life? You know that. They are not. They are not taught that. Very, very seldom are any of them taught that way of life. Notice what the Creator God told His people in ancient Israel. And frankly, Jesus Christ was the God of Israel. And this is what Jesus told people before they had the Holy Spirit. But boy, it was a good way of life. Notice back here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Eternal, our God, the Eternal is one. You shall love the Eternal, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Come to know that real God in whom you live and move and have your being. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. What words is he talking about? Turn to the previous chapter. He'd been talking about these words. I am the Eternal, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. And he began to give the Ten Commandments. He was talking here about the Ten Commandments primarily. You're to have these words in your heart. You shall teach them, verse 7, diligently, not half-heartedly. Teach this way of life diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Talk about them, that way of life, all the time. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Yes, the Ten Commandments, the way of life, is to be talked of, not just by parents, but through the whole society. And we're not doing that anymore, are we? We never did do that perfectly, but it used to be done a lot more than it is today. And we're paying that price. We're paying the price for robbery, rape, violence, uprisings of our young people, the sassy, rotten, rebellious spirit we see everywhere through our modern society, and especially in our youth. And partly it's our fault, of course. We have not taught them that way of life at all. Back in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, God gives us powerful instruction. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Perhaps some of your children will depart from it for a while. I have 6 children, and all of them departed from that way of life for a period of a year or two or more. But they all 4, the older 4, all came back to it. And I'm sure the younger ones will too. They all came back to that way of life eventually, if you teach them the right way. I have 6 children, 6 grandchildren, 1 great-granddaughter, whom I love very much. And so I know a little bit about children. And I see the attitudes of teenagers and their friends on a regular basis. I love them. And I love you young people who may be watching, but you need to be taught this way of life. You need to understand the way of the great God, the God of the Bible. Notice New Testament instruction now from the Apostle Paul on this topic. Very, very important instruction in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is not talking about, you know, young people in their 20s or 30s or something. They may have their own life by that time, but children are to obey their parents in the Lord and follow their parents, obviously, unless the parents tell them to do something horrible or illegal. I suppose at that point a teenager should obey God rather than man, as God tells us all. But obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, even though they're not perfect. They have given you life. No doubt they've taken care of you to a certain extent. Honor them. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Yes, little children who are taught not to run out into the street, who are not taught not to fight and use weapons, will tend to live a lot longer just by nature. It just works out that way. It's a living law. God's law is like the law of gravity, my friends. It automatically works. It really, really does. And we need to teach our children that way of life. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't be constantly picking at them and putting unreal, unwise laws and you know, stipulations on them so they can't even have fun or live or do anything. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So he says essentially the same thing that God said back in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Teach them. Teach them on a regular basis. Talk when you're lying down, when you're standing up, when you're by the way. Teach them that way of life. How often the old-time farmers used to talk to their sons, having their sons follow them up and down the rows of plowing and working together, and the son would learn a way of life from following his father. Not a perfect way of life, because most men have never known that way of life perfectly, but so much better than we have today with absentee fathers, absentee mothers, and children sitting in front of the boob tube, as we call it, their minds being bombarded with violence, illicit sex, every foul thing that the human mind can imagine. That's what they're being taught today. Would to God that our entire society would listen to this instruction from our Creator. He knows what is best for young people. Our God does. He knows the keys to building a truly strong family. He made us. He created our minds, our bodies, our emotions. So let's understand. Turn back to John, the 15th chapter now with me, verse 12. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. And how much more does this apply to our family? Love your children. Take time with your children. Share your values with your children. Talk with them. Fellowship with them. Play games with them. Spend time with them. Give your life to them to the degree that you can, apart from the other things that you're doing, just as Jesus did. Share things with them. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Your friends ought to be your family more than anyone else. And you ought to spend time with young people and let them know that you care. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do whatever I command you. And your children ought to be taught that you love them, but if they love you, they need to learn to do what you say, anything that's within God's law. And certainly at some point in their later teen years, or the 20s obviously, they may break away, but they will have been taught that way of life regularly. And they will have seen it modeled in your life. They will have seen that you are a person who fears God, who knows about a real God, who makes all your decisions in relationship to the purpose of human life, the purpose of God Himself. And they will see that that works. And later on, the vast majority will come back to that way of life, even if they may depart from it for a few years. No longer do I call you servants, Jesus said to his disciples, these young men following him, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. I thought the principle of this verse applies to our family. If we share deeply with our wives, well, if we share deeply, we men, with our children, our plans, our hopes, our dreams, just like Jesus shared, you know, the word, the purpose of life, the way of life, everything that he got from his father, our children will better understand. If we share the whole way of life with them, if we talk about them, about why we're here, what the purpose of life is, why we're doing this and that, where we're going, what life is all about, and have regular family talks about that kind of thing, just like Jesus did with his disciples, then again, they may slip for a while, but they'll come back to that. Teach them a way of life. In the Living Church of God, which sponsors this program, we have found that our annual summer camp is a very enriching experience for our young people. For here, they not only go boating, canoeing, swimming, hiking, playing volleyball and soccer and other sports, they also learn a way of life that really works and makes sense. You should see the letters of deep appreciation they write us each year when camp is over, for it is truly a life-changing experience. Most young people respond positively if they're lovingly taught true values. We're told by God to teach them those values. So let's learn to put God back in the picture when we think of the right way of life. Let's learn to put God back in the picture when we think about family. Let's learn to put God in the picture when we think of juvenile delinquency. He has all the answers, for he created our bodies, our minds, and our emotional makeup. Let's do what the great God says. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write immediately for a free audio tape of this very program. Then you can study it, review it at your leisure. You can share it with family or friends. They need this information. So call or write right away. Just request your free audio tape of this program on juvenile delinquency.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
And be sure to tune in next week for a powerful Tomorrow's World program once again, talking about Bible prophecy, the meaning of life, things you have never heard, probably, from this point of view. Things you have never understood before. Richard Ames and I will be opening up the meaning of life and the meaning of prophecy and world events to you. So tune in next week at this same time.
The informative audio tape offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.